everyone, it's Lacey Scholes from VH1's Rock of Love, and this is Talk of Love, the new podcast. This isn't just reality, this is real life. Hey everyone, it's Lacey motherfucking Scholes, and this is Talk of Love, episode 47. How are you guys doing? I hope everybody's doing well. And I'm really excited because for the first time, I'm going to be getting into a new show that is not technically part of the Of Love shows, but it definitely came from there. And that the show I am speaking on is One Mo' Chance on the Zeus Network. My first guest from the cast of that show is Believable. Her actual name is Tiffany Walker, but on the show, her name was Believable. So we're going to be bringing her on in a few minutes. And I want to let you guys know that this episode of Talk of Love is going to be a little bit more heavy than what I normally do. When I bring Believable on, she, of course, is going to spill some tea about the shows and really talk about her experience on One Mo' Chance. And just in case you guys don't know, One Mo' Chance is Chance, who is from the Of Love universe. If you guys remember back in the early 2000s, mid 2000s, we had Flavor of Love, and from that came New York. New York had her own show, I Love New York. Chance was one of the cast members on I Love New York, and then he went on to have his own show with his brother Real, and that was Real Chance of Love. And I personally always thought that Chance was really funny. And of course, you guys know how I feel about New York. I love her as well. And so fast forward all these years later, and Chance has been once again given his own show called One Mo' Chance on the Zeus Network. So the problem is, because this is a completely different production company, the Of Love shows were done by 51 Minds. One Mo' Chance is done by the Zeus Network. So even though we were expecting something that was kind of going to be like Real Chance of Love or like I Love New York or Flavor of Love, from my perspective, and I know a lot of you feel this way as well, it definitely had a very different vibe, a very different feeling than what we're used to. And because I'm such a big fan of Chance and because I'm such a big fan of New York, I know what great television characters they can be. They make great TV. They're funny. I was really let down. I was really bummed out by a lot of the things that happened on the show and about specifically things that Chance said to some of the other cast members, specifically things that New York said to some of the other cast members. So I want to use this episode to kind of break down that show and really get into the details and really dissect it and really analyze it because I was so disappointed. I know a lot of people in the LGBTQ community were hurt by a lot of what was said. I want people to know, like, we don't have to cancel New York. We don't have to cancel Chance or drag them, but an education needs to happen, like, big time. Because there was a lot of things that happened on that show that were incredibly problematic. And I think it's important that we don't just, like, sweep them under the rug. If we are going to grow and evolve as a society, we got to talk about this kind of stuff that's a little bit harder, a little bit more hurtful, so that we can grow and evolve beyond that. So with that said, my first guest is going to be, her name is Tiffany Walker. Her given name on the show is Believable. She'll be first. After that, I'm going to have a second guest today who really can shed some light from her perspective. And her name is Eden the Doll. I'm such a big fan of her. She's amazing. And Eden is a model. She is a social media influencer. She's a trans rights activist. She's a very strong, powerful, and beautiful trans woman. So she'll be here a little later. She also was in the news last year, 2020, because she and some of her trans female friends were viciously attacked and assaulted while in Hollywood. So she knows, she has been on the receiving end as a trans woman of what transphobia and hatred towards trans, what that can lead to, which is violence, which is attacks, and sometimes in a lot of cases, murder. So this is why we need to get into this kind of stuff. I think it's a really important topic. So there are going to be some triggers in this episode. So I kind of want to warn people people who may be sexual abuse survivors, people who may be survivors of bullying or of assault. I want to give you all a warning that there will be some triggers in here. But if you can, I invite you to really listen, because this is an important conversation. It's important right now that we address it right after One More Chance just got done airing. The reunion show is coming up next Sunday. So this is the best time, better than any, to really dive into this otherwise very difficult topic. On a totally different note, I just want to take a moment to tell you, please listen to the very end of this episode as well. We just had Christmas a few weeks ago, and I had my first annual Talk of Love hosted toy drive, which I called Toys of Love. You guys really delivered. So many of you donated toys that were then delivered to children in need. And I want to give you all who donated toys a really big shout out. So please listen at the end of my interview with Believable and Eden. After that, I'm going to be shouting out the rest of you who I gave some of you a shout out last episode, and then I got even more toys in, which is amazing. So I'll shout you guys out at the end. So please definitely stick around for that. If you haven't done so already and you like this podcast, if you want to show your support, please click on the subscribe button. That really helps the podcast a lot. People pay attention to the number of subscribers. So please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Click that like button too, the thumbs up. I really appreciate you guys. All right, let's get into this now. Please give a warm welcome to Tiffany Walker, aka Believable from One Mo Chance. Hey girl, what's up? How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks. It's so nice to see you. You know, you are the first cast member from One Mo Chance to come onto the Talk of Love podcast. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited. I'm the first.
Yay! I love it. Yeah. And I got to say, you look amazing, girl. You look gorgeous.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I got to start out by saying this, because when I found this out, I was like, holy shit, this is a weird coincidence. You and I actually have the same birthday. We were both born on June the 10th.
Yes, Team Gemini. I love it.
Yeah, me too. The only difference is you were born on June the 10th, about when I was graduating high school. Oh. But that's okay. Nonetheless, June 10th, fellow Gemini.
Yes.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us about your life prior to One Mo Chance. I know that you you grew up in New Jersey, right?
Yes, I'm from New Jersey, and I moved out of New Jersey 3 years ago, and I've lived in LA for almost 3 years. First, I went to Atlanta, and then I came to LA.
Oh, okay. What brought you to LA?
My career, modeling and acting.
Oh, that's cool. Well, LA is the place to be for that, for sure.
Yes, it is.
Nice. So that was your main gig before doing One More Chance. You were doing modeling, you were doing acting work, and that was what you were aspiring to do with your life?
Yes.
Okay, cool. That's awesome. I love it. Well, you've obviously done some really great stuff for yourself. Did you always know that you wanted to do reality television eventually, or were you just kind of open to any kind of acting gigs and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I think that I was trying to see like what is a good niche for me, because I think it's better when you try it out, you know? But I know that I always loved reality TV. I always watched reality TV. I've been asked to go on reality TV for a while, and I auditioned for other reality TV shows. So, yeah.
Oh yeah, what shows did you audition? Anything that we know?
Real World.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Did you actually audition, yeah, or you were asked to?
Kind of an audition. Yeah, went to the casting and stuff.
Okay, so you're just putting yourself out there until something picked up. That's what I did too. So that's the way to do it.
Right. Yeah, that's how I did it.
Okay. So how did you find out about the One Mo Chance audition?
So for the One Mo Chance audition, I just got info for a casting, and then I came that day. like it was very spontaneous.
And so had you seen, you said that you're a big fan of the reality shows. Were you, did you watch specifically the VH1 of Love shows, Flavor of Love, I Love New York, all of that?
I did. I was raised on all those shows. I was raised on Flavor of Love, New York, For the Love of Ray J, Rock of Love. I watched Rock of Love.
Oh, nice.
I did.
Yay.
Yeah, I watched all that. I love reality TV. I still watch reality TV.
That's awesome. Yeah, me too. I'm right there with you. And I'm assuming you watched Real Chance of Love as well?
I did.
Yep. Okay. So did you know, did they tell you when you were auditioning for One More Chance, did you know it was going to be Chance from the Of Love shows?
I didn't know till I got there.
Oh, interesting. Who did they tell you? Did they give you any hints on to who it was going to be?
No.
So they just said it's going to be a reality show. It's going to be a bachelor. You'll find out when you get there kind of thing.
Well, I know that just for me personally, because when I did go to the casting, I think some other people knew more. And some people had like specific roles or whatever, but I got info on the casting that day and I didn't know too much.
Okay. Okay. So how much time between the audition and the beginning of the filming, how much time was that?
Maybe a week or so.
Oh, really? Oh, it was quick.
Yeah, it was pretty quick.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Sure. So, then when you realized that it was Chance, did you already have an idea about Chance in your head? Like, did you already have thoughts about him or an opinion about him before you started really getting into the filming of the show?
No, because that show was pretty old, you know, like when I was growing up watching those shows, like I was pretty young. So now I'm like 26. So, you know, he wasn't in the forefront of my memory too much. But, so when I did get there, I wanted to just like get to know him for like who he is, because I don't remember who he was on TV.
Okay. Okay. You just remember that you remember the shows. But
I remember the show. I remember who he is. Yeah,
but you remember like him kind of, but you don't really remember his personality that clearly from the shows. Okay.
Yeah,
I
don't remember. That show was like, when was that show taped?
Oh, I think it was like 2009 or so, give or take a year. So yeah, it was a while ago.
I was in the ninth grade.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's so funny. That's so crazy. I have a whole list of questions here because there's so much I want to ask you about. During the audition, one thing I want to ask you about specifically, what was the audition like? What kind of questions did they ask you? And specifically, I want to ask you if during the audition, did they ask you questions specifically about your gender or your gender identity? Did they ask you anything like that?
Okay, so I don't know. I know that you said that you watched the show, but they also have the castings on the app as well.
Oh, I gotta watch that. I didn't even know. I'm so glad you told me that. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So the castings were taped. I'm on part two.
Okay.
And so it was Michael Blackson, Jackie Long, and Mike that chose the girls. And they add, like, it was very comedic, you know, like it was just like very funny. Michael Blackson asked me about my boobs and asked me if I know how to suck dick and cook. And that's
they asked you if you know how to suck dick. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Oh my God. Wow.
I know. It was very awkward.
Oh my God.
Like, I didn't know what to do. So I just laughed. Like when I'm like, when in doubt, I laugh. So I just was laughing the whole time. And
God. I'm like stunned. Yeah, I'm stunned right now. Holy shit, dude. That's kind of inappropriate. I mean, like I understand joking and stuff like that, but I always say to people, like, imagine if you actually went to a job, like an actual interview of like at a corporation or something like that. And the person interviewing for the job asked you that question. Like, holy shit, you know? I mean, I feel like there's got to be, I mean, I understand that reality TV is like crazy and wild and all that. And a lot of it is definitely sexual for sure. But like, there's got to be boundaries, you know? Like asking somebody how they suck dick is just like so crossing the line from my perspective. I mean, that's nuts. I mean, that must have, it sounds to me, where they, do you get the vibe that they're trying to like throw you off and just like see what, how you would react or respond to a being thrown to the wolves with a question like that?
I don't know. It was, it just happened so fast. And that's what like everybody was like talking about. Like if you actually, like later on when you watch the castings, like that's what everybody was talking about. Like
damn,
it was twerking contests and do you know how to suck dick and stuff like that. So,
oh my God.
But, yeah, but in the casting, they very much liked me. They thought that I was pretty. Like me being a man was never,
that was never even brought up.
No, it was.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, that's what's so crazy about this is, and I'll touch on this again in a few minutes from now. I want to get into some other stuff. But one of the things that was really like hard to watch for me, I really felt a connection to you, which is why I wanted you on my podcast first from that show.
Because well, we share the same birthday, so we're kind of connected.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think you're right. Yeah. And, you know, what I really like about you, what I liked and like about you on the show is you are beautiful and you are gorgeous. And I think that you just really handled yourself with class and with grace, and you exhibited such a strength. I mean, you are a soft spoken girl with a beautiful, soft voice. And you are stronger than any loud bitch there, you know, because you had so much shit thrown at you and you were just like Wonder Woman, like, pew, pew, you know, like it just deflected right off of you.
Yes. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah. And so what was crazy is like this whole, like right out the gate, this whole thing about like, you know, your name on the show was believable and they're like, you know, believable as a man. And that came up like 5,000 times. And it was funny because I did like, I started watching the show, but then I stopped. But then this past week, I did like a marathon and just got caught up and watched all the episodes kind of like in 2 days. And I binged it. Yeah. And so my husband, he didn't watch with me, but I was kind of like giving him the play-by-play. And he was like, who is this girl that, that like they keep saying is a man. So I showed my husband your photos on Instagram. He's like, she's gorgeous. There's not a single manly thing about that girl. I'm like, I know. I don't know why they decided that that was the go-to for you of the go-to insult. Like it just didn't make any sense to me.
I don't know. I mean, I heard that the rumor was started by one of the girls in the house. So it was pretty competitive and that's just how I took it. I didn't take it too personal.
That's good. Yeah, that's really good. I was going to ask you that because I would imagine at some point when everybody kept going, I mean, first of all, I can't imagine, you're so beautiful. I can't imagine that anybody has ever accused you of looking like a man prior to the show. Has that ever been a thing for you ever?
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
I mean, people tell me I'm cute. That's like, you know?
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
I mean, I mean, I can't imagine what it just doesn't make sense to me that was the go-to. But, and then once it was the go-to, instead of everybody else going like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Of course, you know, Tiffany believable doesn't look like a man. Instead, everybody was just like ran with it. It was insane. So, okay. So we're going to come back to that. so
you're like watching it. You're like, what is going on?
I seriously had so many what the fuck moments while watching that show. I had to like stop and compose myself. And I was just like, seriously, I think what the fuck came out of my mouth more times than ever in my life while watching that show.
I just thought of it as like, you know, if you ain't got no haters, you're not popping. So
that's true. Yes, I agree. And trust me, I'm like the queen of the haters, but still like the what they went to for you just didn't make any sense. You know? Like for me, yeah. People go, oh, Lacey's crazy or Lacey's like the devil or whatever. I'm like, okay, I get it. There's a little bit of truth to all of that. But with the shit with you, that just doesn't, that makes no sense. So since you were a fan of all the shows, what was your, prior to the taping of this show, what were your feelings about New York? Did you look up to her? Did you consider yourself a fan of New York?
I No, like, you know, she's funny and stuff like that, but yeah, I was like, New York, I mean, I just really haven't seen her. Like, it was just very, like, you know, the last time she had a show was like a long time ago. So, you know, I know who she was, but I never really idolized her or anything like that.
She was just kind of another character from your perspective?
She was a huge character, though, you know, like New York is like New York, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. She was iconic in the reality world for sure. And I think I think she's done a number of shows since then, but you're speaking specifically about the VH1 Of Love era, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And you had no idea that she was going to come on the show? Or did you have an idea?
Maybe we had a little idea.
A little hint. Okay. So it wasn't like a total shock when you saw her?
Not really. I mean, you know, it was that day, you know, I think we seen her, but everything was, you know, tight. You know, everyone wanted to keep the surprise of her being there. But, you know, it was just a little gossipy. But I was just, you know, I just go into the situation, you know, not knowing what to expect, but just hoping for the best.
Okay, okay. So when you first started on day one, it was like crazy fighting amongst the girls in the cast, like almost immediately. And it was like the most wild fighting. And then it like never stopped until the show was over. And from what I understand, it's still happening. So was any of that like encouraged by producers, or was that planned, or was that encouraged, or was that like 100% real? These are just some crazy wild bitches.
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
You know, it's the girls, they just, it was a very competitive show, and, you know, people took that seriously, and, you know, everybody has an ego. So that's just what it was. Everyone is just fighting.
Yeah. And I know that you made some friends on the show. And I know Secrets was one of the friends that you made. And you and a couple of the other girls definitely like kept it classy, kept your composure. But I would imagine because your personality is so opposite of that, you are more refined and, you know, you are more even keeled. Did you feel a little bit out of place? Did you feel a little bit alone? Or were you, was it an intimidating situation? How did you feel?
No, it wasn't intimidating. I mean, you know, I went in the house and I didn't know what to expect. I just was happy to be there. And I mean, for one, I'm always alone. I'm me, I'm by myself. I'm in LA by myself. So I'm not like scared to be alone. But, you know, Shira was not confrontational either. So we gravitated towards each other.
Shira's awesome. I really liked her a lot.
Yeah, Shira's dope. Such a like beautiful soul. But I mean, it wasn't like that bad. I mean, towards the end, the tension got really high. You know, like, it was, then people was kind of isolating themselves because it's like, and it was very clicky, like towards the end it was, you know, but I mean, in the beginning, we're all just there and it was still pretty clicky, but it was cool. I wasn't scared. I wasn't intimidated. I mean, I can keep my composure, but I'm not like a bitch, not a pussy or something. Like, I'm not scared.
Right. But I mean, I would imagine it feels like you don't necessarily have like a camaraderie with everybody in the house. You had a couple of girls, but otherwise, like, you know, just it seems like being amongst people that you don't have a connection with and that are opposite of you, it seems like it would be kind of like a little bit of a lonely feeling while you're there. Not necessarily like physically lonely, but like psychologically lonely. You know what I mean?
No, it was cool.
You're okay with it? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it was a fun experience. You know, like we all were in the house and we were having fun.
Oh, that's good. Okay. Because they really didn't show that.
We were having fun, but then there were times when there was fighting. And towards the end, then the tension got really high. But like, you know, in the beginning, the Zakila sisters, like, we like to have fun. And then, you know, just everybody was just like a good time. But then there was some fighting.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. And the other thing I thought was interesting, there's a couple of things. One, you guys had your cell phones, which was really interesting because on the Of Love that I did, they physically took our cell phones away from us. So I thought it was interesting you guys had your cell phones, and it was interesting that you guys got to travel outside the house. Like, I know you guys were talking about at one point going to Jamba Juice, and it showed you guys like out of the house doing stuff. You were talking about being out of the house, but we didn't see you inside Jamba Juice, but you guys talked about it. So talk about that a little bit. Like, first of all, how did they make it so the girls weren't like staring at their cell phones the whole entire time? Like, how did they keep that in check?
I mean, there was times when it was just like, okay, put your phones down. But with all those girls there, we really didn't need, I mean, it's just like regular life. That's, you know, like regular life. You're not always on your phone. And then some people are. But I think it also like fueled to the fire of like the drama, because then that's like when you saw who was like, you know, talking to whomever or giving their phone number out or something like that. So I think that, yeah.
That's what I was going to ask you next. There was a lot of speculation that one or two or maybe more of the girls had like guys on the side, or they maybe had boyfriends, or at least guys that they were flirting with. Like, I know it was Yodala. Is that how you say her name, or is it Yodala? Yodala?
I think it's Yodala.
Yodala. So I know that there was a lot of talk that she was giving out her number to people, to guys, or that she had guys and stuff. Did it seem, and then she was claiming that the guy in question was actually her brother. How much truth do you think there was to that? Were you guys able to ever get to the bottom of that?
I mean, you know, that's people's business. Like in real life, like we're like in a time where, you know, commitment is not really a thing that people are doing these days.
Don't tell that to my husband.
So, like, no.
Johnny, don't listen to this.
Our younger generation, like people is like, everyone has some multiple situations going on. But, I mean, yeah, we saw who was talking to whomever. And girls was definitely, like, giving their information out. Like, it will slip out or whatever. But it's cool. I mean, that's life. That's life. Sometimes. Yeah.
Sometimes bitches got guys on the side.
Yeah.
Okay.
Honestly, I don't even remember the last time I met, like, especially in LA. Like, I'm from Jersey, so if I like call my family up, you know, we're more traditional, especially like I come more from like a traditional household and like family. So like everybody has like their one situation. But out here in LA, people got side niggas, side bitches, and
yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm a bit more traditional. I'm with you on that. So
I'm traditional. My family's traditional. I'm traditional.
Yeah.
But out here, it's a little different.
Well, also, I feel like being in your 20s is a little different too. You know,
yeah, you have to experiment a little.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't get married until I was 37. So, and I was a big slut before that. So, I had my fun. So, okay. Well, that's interesting. So let's talk about, when you girls were given your names by chance on day one, there were some like eyebrow raising names that were given out. And for you specifically, when he said that he was going to give you the name Believable, and specifically because he was saying that he guessed it was quote unquote believable that you weren't a man. Is that, am I getting that right? That's why he named you that. Were you like,
he was like, you're believable.
Were you like, fucking really? Like, where? How did you feel?
Honestly, I didn't even take offense to it. I mean, because it's not like he called me like something bad. But the process of getting named was kind of embarrassing, for sure. But I don't know. Maybe I'm not as emotional, but yeah, I take things for what it is. So I was like, okay, my name is believable. At least it's believable. You know,
girl, if I was the one giving you a name, I would name you Unbelievable because I think you're unbelievably beautiful. And that would be your name if I was there.
So sweet.
Yeah, well, you are.
Where's the villain at?
I always still hear. Trust me. It's always in the back pocket. But no, I speak the truth. And that's actually why I get labeled villain also, because I speak the truth for good and I speak the truth for not so good. I just like to keep it real, you know? So yes. Some people love me for the truth I speak and some people don't, you know, and that's okay because I always just keep it real. But yeah, you really are. And like, and I appreciate what you said where you were saying like, well, believable is really not that bad, but like, it's not really not that good either.
It's not that good. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I mean, good. Like if you go back to like Flavor Flav, on Flavor of Love season one, you know, you got a girl that he called Hottie. You got a girl he called Smiley. You got a girl he called Goldie. You got New York, which is an awesome name. You know, he was pretty kind in his names, you know, and I think it got a little weird later on. I'm sure there's examples otherwise, but generally speaking, girls got some good names, you know? And I think that in One Mo' Chance, a lot of it was like pretty brutal. And as I said,
he did give us like a lot of us not so good names. He kind of like just was ripping us apart the whole show.
Yeah.
Like that kind of seems to be the plot.
I agree. I completely agree with you. And that's how it seemed like from my perspective as well. And it makes me go like, was he really there to find love? That's always like the question on all these shows. Are any of them real? Is anybody really there to find love? Some of them I thought so.
I did ask him.
Oh, you did? Tell me about that.
I did. So we did have our alone time. And what we did do, we just talked. So I asked him, I was like, so are you like really looking for love? And he was like, I'm always looking for love. And then I think he got kind of mad because then like the next day during eliminations, one of his friends or brother, assistant, I don't know, was like, yeah, Chance, this show is for real. Chance is here for love. This isn't any fake stuff. So da, 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 da. I don't know. It seemed kind of. But I mean, I don't know.
Did you end up developing feelings for him at all? Or were you even given that time or chance?
He was so mean to me. How could I develop feelings for someone that is so mean?
Yeah.
He was so mean.
I was wondering if there was maybe something that we didn't see. Because one thing that was interesting to me as well is the fact that...
And I'm sensitive. And I told him in our alone time, I said, I'm sensitive. Please like be gentle with me. That's what I said.
And he's like, let me introduce you to my friend, New York. He's like, hold my beer. Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, again, like what, like, here's my thing with the reality show world. What, like my thing is, if you look at the people who I went after, generally speaking, I went after other strong women who I felt could handle it. Other tough women. Heather Chadwell, she's a tough woman. Dallas, she's a tough woman. Jess, she's a tough woman. I sort of made it my point to go after other tough women. I wouldn't have gone after somebody like Sam from season one who is energetically a little softer, a little more sensitive. You, I would put in the category of a little more soft, a little bit more sensitive energetically.
I mean, that's why none of the girls really like fucked with me. Like none of the girls really like, cause Mangina was like starting fights with everyone, you know? And I just like, the first fight, it was supposed to be me and Special K, but I was like, I don't care. I just don't care.
What do you mean it was supposed to be? Like, it was encouraged?
Because Special K started with me. Like, Special K was like, okay, I really didn't like you when I first came here. That's what she said to me. And I said, I don't care. And then Shira kind of just took over. And that's when Shira and Special K got into an argument. Because I was like, that's not me. I'm sorry.
That's awesome. You're like the Brandy M from my season. That's how she was. She was just like, no fucks given. Like, you couldn't rattle her, you know? And that's cool. That's empowering.
I thought it was. I don't think that it made me weak. I think that if I, like, was too emotional, that would have been weak, I feel like.
I don't agree.
Raging, yelling, and crying. Like a lot of, but...
Well, it depends on...
It was an emotional show. A lot of people cried.
Yeah.
There was a lot of fighting, a lot of anger, a lot of tears. And I just, like, am not that emotional all the time.
Yeah. Well, I don't think... So, I don't think emotional... Being emotional is weakness, per se. Like, I think, like, crying is not weakness, but allowing somebody to get under your skin and having an explosive reaction to somebody else, that would be a weakness, because like if you can't control your own self, if you can't control your own temper, you can't control anything. So from that perspective, you had the power, you know, but crying isn't weak. Crying is just, you know,
no, it's not. Being. I'm just saying I wasn't as emotional.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other.
So let's talk about the alone time with Chance, because I noticed that, I mean, for starters, one thing that was really weird to me about One More Chance is there wasn't any like real challenges, like in the way that I'm used to with some of the Of Love shows. I know you guys went to the horse stable and that was the challenge. And then you had the natural beauty challenge. But really, aside from those two, there weren't really like challenges. And also, there weren't really real dates either in the way that we're all used to from the Of Love shows. But I did notice that like kind of seemingly out of nowhere, one girl would be like, oh yeah, I spent the night with Chance last night, or I hooked up with Chance or whatever. And so I'm like, wait, when did this happen? Because they didn't really show you guys with the alone time. So walk me through how a girl would end up with alone time with Chance, and what did that consist of? Like how much time was that actually?
I'm pretty sure it's something that... just like I was personally requested, but yeah, you just kind of be like aggressive, like, you know, if you didn't go up to him or anything, then nothing would have happened.
Okay, so but they didn't show any of that, right?
No.
Why didn't they show that?
I don't know. They just didn't. They showed Yodala's alone time with him, where they were kissing and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was weird that they didn't do that with all the girls, because it was really hard to see what connection Chance did or didn't have. I mean, it was supposed to be a dating show, but there was like really no dates. Like they didn't really show us that much. It was more so about the fighting and the drama and all of that from my perspective. You know?
Yeah. I was reading something on Twitter and it was like, yeah, One More Chance is like how Love and Hip Hop used to be. So maybe that's a different spin on a new dating show, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense. So one thing, so I want to get into the whole, there's two things I want to get into. I want to get into the whole thing about on the Natural Beauty Challenge, you and Yummy. And I want to get into, of course, the huge controversy, which was you in New York and the interrogation there. But before I get into that, I do want to ask you, New York eliminated you and three other girls. And I thought that Shira's exit speech was like incredible. And she was so pissed. And she was like, I stayed in this house this whole time and endured all the fighting and all the drama. And I kept it cool. And I kept my shit together, all just to be like thrown out, not even by Chance, but by New York. And she was like, fuck you, Chance, you're a pussy. And I was like, damn, like she's keeping it real. But I understand her anger. And from what it looked like, how they edited it, was that you guys didn't even get a chance to say goodbye to Chance. Did he say bye to you ladies? Or did you were just thrown out by New York and then you left and that was it?
No, we said bye.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so after New York, when you went home, or when they were showing you leaving the house, you actually... I guess did they stop filming and then you got a chance to say bye to Chance? Bless you.
Yeah, I mean after filming, you could say bye if you wanted to.
And then what was that like? Did you say bye to him?
Probably not.
Okay, I don't blame you. But he didn't come say bye to you either.
Probably not. I mean, the thing with like Chance was very mean to me during the show, and I guess that was like my character line. You know, but when the cameras were not rolling, he was not. So that's why it was just kind of fake or whatever. And I just didn't really know how to take it all. So that's kind of why, like, I just acted the way that I did. because it was just very switchy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I remember even after that interrogation, like, I didn't say bye to New York and New York didn't say bye to me. Because I think they just know, like, you know, they kind of just made me, like, they're all bullying me. So, of course, they're not going to be like, yeah, bye, you know, like, I think they kind of, you know. So,
yeah,
no,
they
we
knew.
Didn't talk. We didn't say bye.
God, I'm glad you said that it was bullying because it looked like bullying to me as well. And I'm so sorry that you had to endure that. You know, it shouldn't have been like that. You ladies are there to like make a fun show for them. I mean, at the very least, they could like be appreciative that you were on their show, you know? I just think about the way that Flavor Flav treated the girls and how Bret Michaels treated the girls. And it was night and day.
Bret Michaels was nice to the girls, I remember.
He was. And so was Flav. He was very nice to the girls. So it was a big difference, you know, from those shows and this. It really was kind of bummed me out, you know? I'm not watching these shows for people to be like blatantly mistreated. Like drama is one thing, but like being like just full-blown disrespected and being treated like you're just disposable. You're just a disposable cast member. That's how I felt like a lot of you girls were treated. And like as a audience member, as a viewer, it doesn't make me feel good to watch that. I'm not like, yeah, tell that bitch she's a man that did nothing wrong and is beautiful. I mean, like, what am I supposed to cheer
empowering.
On?
But I think Zeus wanted it to be more spoofy than anything. I think that's what they were kind of going for, like a spoof kind of thing, not a serious.
Yeah, but it didn't
show.
Come across like that at all. Like that, if that's how
that
they
was
meant to.
Pretty harsh. He's a very mean guy.
Yeah, I didn't see it as spoof at all.
What I think is funny is I said that he was a very mean guy under a comment on Instagram, and then he was like, "I can't believe you would say that I was a mean guy. So I unfollowed you." Blah blah blah. Blah. Like, bro,
really? Just because
you're mean. You don't see that you're mean.
That's like so detached from reality because he was mean. He was mean to you. He was mean to several of the girls. And I feel like bullying. I want to bring up, because we are running out of time a little bit. I have another guest after you, Eden, who is the trans woman, and she's a model. She's amazing. She's a social media influencer. She's really great. So I'm going to bring her on next to kind of address some of this stuff from a trans woman perspective. But I do want to really kind of, in the next few minutes, I want to dissect these two moments on the show that were personally like pretty upsetting for me. And just for any of you guys that are watching, if any of you get triggered by anything having to do with like sexual abuse or triggered by bullying or triggered by things having to do with abuse within the LGBT community, just be aware this might be an emotional topic that we're about to talk about. So I want to give you all a trigger warning right now. So one of the moments that really bothered me, and people who have watched my podcast know that I am a sexual abuse survivor myself. When I was a child, I was sexually abused pretty badly for several years, starting from about age 5 to age 8. So I personally get triggered by certain things. Like for instance, you and I talked on the phone the other night and I told you like I have a hard time watching really graphic rape scenes in movies. And like for instance, like the girl with the dragon tattoo, I'm not going to watch that movie. Everybody said it was amazing. I'm sure it was amazing, but I know I can't sit through like brutal rape scenes and that sort of thing. So other things trigger me as well. And when they were doing the natural beauty challenge, which I actually thought was really cute at first, empowering, because basically the challenge was the girls had to take off their lashes, take off all their makeup, take off any kind of weaves or anything, and like let's see who you are without all that. And to me, it came across not superficially like what do you look like without makeup on, but more so it seemed to me to be about the girls'
natural
self-confidence.
Beauty.
Yeah, their natural beauty, but their self-confidence too. Can you be a self-confident?
And I thought I was going to do good in that because I'm a very natural girl. I don't even have makeup on today.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, I'm not too worried.
Right.
But,
so you were one of the ones that actually you were the only one that was not treated the same as the other girls. It wasn't for you about just taking off your makeup and how beautiful you are without the makeup. But when you came up, and you came up very confidently, I remember you jumped in the pool and then you came over. And the first thing that Chance said was, let me examine you. Or let me inspect you. That's what it was. And then I'm sure you were probably like, oh, great, here we go. And then I remember he said, you know, let me see your neck. And he was looking for an Adam's apple and you went like this and showed your neck. Then after that, he called Yummy, another of the women. He called Yummy over and said, Yummy, you're the one that's been also making the accusations that Believable is actually a man. So I want you to inspect her. And then Yummy proceeds to feel in between your thighs, in between your legs, feels your crotch, feels your breasts, which feeling your breasts, I don't know what that even proves, because there's so many women who are cis female who get fake boobs. So that's not going to prove anything by feeling your boobs. But there was a moment where you were like, are you going to touch my vagina too? Like, what's going on here? And Chance answered and he was like, yes. So then you were asked to show your bare vagina to Yummy. And then she looked at your bare vagina and was like, yeah, it's a vagina. But then of course, everybody's still, oh, but there's post-op surgery. So that whole thing, when I watched it, seemed incredibly
violent. They was hitting on me hard. Everything that I showed them, they was hitting really hard. They was like, oh, well, maybe she just got a new pussy, whatever. And then even when I showed my baby pictures, they were like, oh, well, I think I showed a picture when I was a kid and they were like, oh, well, you know, these parents, they put a wig on their kids sometimes.
Oh my God.
And stuff. And I was like, oh, y'all just hating. Like, whatever.
It's ridiculous. So when Chance told Yummy, inspect her. And then when Yummy started touching you invasively and in a violating manner, touching your vagina, touching your boobs, did she say, hey, girl, is it cool if I do this? Did she get your verbal consent before putting her hands all over you?
I don't remember. I don't remember. It was...
because they didn't show it.
It was so long ago. It was in August.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't remember the details. I do remember I went up there. I took off my makeup. I took my hair, my hairband off because it was like half up, half down. And then I remember he was like, Yummy, you know, come over here. You're the one that's been saying this, because I'm pretty sure Yummy's the one. I keep hearing that Yummy's the one that started the rumor. So he called her over there and I, you know, she looked at me and stuff. And then after Yummy gave the okay that I'm a girl, then I went to in front of Chance and Chance started touching me, but they didn't film that.
Oh, they
filmed it, but they didn't.
So do you remember, but you don't remember if or if not anybody asked your permission before they started touching you?
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't remember.
The reason I ask is
I don't want to say and be wrong.
Okay. I see what you're saying. You know, it's disappointing about Yummy as a woman. It's one thing to be competitive against another woman, but this is perpetuating and getting dangerously close to, if not already, in the going down the road of sexual battery, of sexual abuse. The second that you start putting your hands on someone's private areas, their breasts, their vagina, that sort of thing, especially if, and I understand you're saying you don't remember if there was consent or not, but if there wasn't consent, verbal consent, that's sexual battery. That's against the law. You know, and it's upsetting to me that Yummy would allow, as a woman, knowing that the statistics are that one out of every 4 to 5 women has experienced sexual assault, sexual abuse, or some kind of unwanted sexual crime within her life. It's very likely that any woman that you talk to has suffered from sexual assault or sexual abuse, something of that nature. So as a woman, we know this. And for her to allow you to be so invasively and in a violating way, be touched and inspected, she should have stepped up and be like, you know what? I'm sorry, Chance. I'm not going to do that to another woman. As a woman, you step up. You make sure your girl, if you're at a party and you see a girl and she's passed out, as a woman, I don't give a fuck if you know who that girl is. I don't care if you hate that girl. You make sure that, like, that girl's too drunk. She's fucked up. I'm going to make sure she's safe. And Yummy had the opportunity to do that for you. And instead, she threw you to the wolves. She allowed you to be violated at her own hands. And that is really upsetting to me. And it is, and I'm sorry to be throwing my emotions on top of you, but as I started out saying, this is triggering for me. And how dare they? How dare they put their hands on a woman in a violating way for a reality show? That is so crosses the line. And if they didn't break laws by doing that, I'm surprised, because that was some fucked up shit and it was hard to watch. You know, and I'm sorry to be throwing this all at you, because I understand, I get it. Like you are such an easygoing girl, and you're so mature. You know, I mean, do you get where I'm coming from? Do you get my?
No, I get what you're saying completely, for sure. I completely agree.
Did you feel violated in that moment? Did you feel embarrassed? Did you feel humiliated? Did you feel degraded? Was it like a deer in the headlights? Where were you freeze? I mean, we've all been there. Were you just so like kind of shocked by it that you were just like, whatever, let's just get through it? Or were you just like, whatever, it's just, who cares? Like, what were your feelings?
Of course, you know, when you, I didn't like think that it was going to be that way, you know? And think that I was gonna go on TV and then everyone was gonna bully me or whatever. But you know, it's I'm still alive. I'm okay.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And I'm sorry you had to go through that. It was really hard to watch. And you know, Yummy, shame on you. And Chance, shame on you. You don't do that to women. It's, you know, there's something to be said for autonomy of our own bodies. Our bodies belong to us. They don't belong to anybody else. Nobody gets to touch a woman's body in her intimate parts of her body. Like those aren't for you. Those aren't for you, Yummy. Those aren't for you, Chance. You know, unless you're in an intimate romantic moment with somebody, you don't get to touch someone's vagina. You don't get to look at someone's vagina. You don't get to talk about their dick. You don't get to talk about their boobs or touch their boobs like that. I'll say it again. Shame on you, Yummy. Shame on you, Chance. That was such a violation. You don't treat women like that. You don't treat anybody like that. It was really, really, I feel like it was a low, low moment of that show for sure.
For sure it was. It totally was. For sure.
I really hope that never happens again on a reality show, because that's totally not acceptable. And if they need to go to like borderline sexual assault, borderline sexual battery to get their drama, then they need to find a new profession, because they don't know how to do reality TV. They don't know how to do it. So let's get to the final thing. I want to get into the New York interrogation. That was pretty brutal as well. I'm saying this from I'm a big fan of New York, and I was disappointed in the way she treated you. After all that you had been through, you showed your vagina, you allowed yourself to be groped and felt up by Yummy. I'm sorry, you didn't allow yourself. Yummy took advantage of you and decided, regardless of your feelings on it, to grope you and feel you up. That would be a better way to word that. So after all of that, you know, you sit down, you're going to be questioned by New York. And here again, right out the gate, she goes to the like, are you a man kind of rhetoric, which is not only an anti-woman thing to go at, but it's anti-trans. And so let's dive into that a little bit. Walk me through it. What were your thoughts on everything?
So when I first went down there, I just tried to be like nice, you know, But, like, now that the show is over, you know, of course, I know that I tried to control the situation by just being, like, a positive person that I am. But they definitely had their mindset on portraying me to be this character that I'm not. So when I went down there, I was like, hi, Tiffany. It's nice to meet you. My name is Tiffany, too. You know, I was being nice and stuff. And then she even said, these girls are so nice. You know, she said I had a nice body and stuff like that. And then, but you know, it was the motive on the show was definitely to insult my femininity for sure.
I agree.
Because she switched up and then she was just like, well, yeah. And then I'm like, I'm not going to yell. No, that's why I didn't yell. That's why when you see the clip that went viral, she was like, yell. And I was like, ah, because it's like, no.
I was proud of you for that. I mean, she basically was not like, dance, monkey, dance, you know, is what that was. So like, go fuck yourself. And I'm really glad. I'm proud of you. You handled that like a champ, like a pro.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that was the best way that I could handle it. I mean, I'm not gonna fight people over some words. I'm an adult, not a little kid. Sticks and stones break our bones, but words will never hurt me. I mean, you know, like these are lessons that we learn as kids. And I'm also like, I read a lot of like, I'm into like Buddhism and like just all that type of stuff. So like, of course, I couldn't react any other way, you know, and especially since I felt like they were trying so hard to push me, you know, it's like I couldn't even give them the satisfaction. I'm not, I'm a woman, and that's what it is.
You did fantastic, girl. I was super proud of you. And I think that's why New York got so upset and so angry is because she couldn't break you. And that's what she was trying to do.
Right. She was like, oh my God, this is what I have to deal with? Like,
I would have been like, you know, at the end of all of that, I would have like high-fived you and be like, good job, girl. You passed the test. I tried to rattle you. I tried to break you and you didn't let me do it. So that proves your strength.
Yeah, no, that's not how it happened.
So were you surprised by the response and the outrage and the hurt from the LGBTQ community who watched how New York berated you and belittled you and made comments that were transphobic, that were, in my opinion, were also anti-woman, but definitely were anti, that were transphobic as well. Were you surprised at the audience reaction to New York's interrogation of you?
Maybe not, because that was pretty wrong. So I think that I was just happy that, you know, people saw that it was wrong and like the whole world wasn't against me, like the whole house was. Cause like, you know, for those 2 weeks, that was my life. We were in that house for 2 weeks because I stayed on pretty long, like the whole time practically. So yeah, hearing that every single day. And, you know, that being the situation, it was for sure. I was like, you know, like, and then you come back into reality and people are like, hold up, this is not right. You shouldn't have gone through this, you know? So that feels good to be like stood up for.
Yeah, people supported you. Absolutely. And what did you think? When New York made, I call it a non-apology video. I don't know if that was supposed to be an apology. It totally wasn't. But
yeah, did she say sorry?
I don't think she actually said sorry. No, she said
no. I think that she was like defending what she said.
She was, and she basically was like, "I hear you guys are upset. Your feelings are wrong." She basically said people's feelings are wrong, which that's not really a thing. But when she said that the reason that she attacked you verbally like that and went after your gender, attacked your femininity, accused you of being a man, accused you of having a dick. And the whole, like, I bet there's a sweaty dick and balls in there.
Yeah,
like,
she said there's a dick, sweaty balls. And then, she said she went in. She went in for sure.
That, again, back to like the whole thing of like me personally getting triggered, that shit kind of was triggering too. I mean, it's like,
it was triggering for a lot of people. Like,
yeah.
When I read the reviews and read comments and just all types of things, they're like, oh my God, this is so transphobic and this is that and then that. And you're like, yeah.
For me, the reason it was triggering it, and I completely understand trans women, trans men being triggered by that 100%. For me, as I said, when I was going through my sexual abuse stuff, fortunately, when I finally came forward to my family, they were really great. They believed me and they immediately got me therapy. But one thing that we did was they took me to the district attorney's office, and I was like 10 years old, I think. And I had to talk to the district attorney in graphic detail for long periods of time, going into every little detail of what happened to me. And I remember that in of itself was incredibly traumatizing, almost as much as the abuse itself, because I was having to talk to strangers that were asking me very intimate details about my vagina and about his penis and all this stuff. And it was so horrible to have to talk to a district attorney, a stranger, about that as a 10-year-old. And I remember it went on for hours. And so that interrogation, that's why it was triggering to me personally, her interrogation of you about that, talking about your private parts in between your legs and all that, because that's what it felt like to me as a 10-year-old little girl being interrogated by the district attorney. And this was back in 1986. They didn't exactly know how to be sensitive to abuse victims back in the 80s, you know, but that's why it was triggering for me. And I understand also, of course, why it was triggering to people in the trans community. It was wrong across the board. And
it was very harsh.
Yeah. And she, in her video on Instagram, she said, well, people did it to me, therefore I can do it to other people.
I'll do it to her. And then she tried to make it seem like she was empowering me. Like, oh, it's good that I said that about you. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, I think if New York had just... Actually, let me ask this to you. If New York were to have an awakening, and I'm not here to drag New York. I'm hoping that actually New York will hear this and or hear from someone and understand the impact of her words. So I'm not here to I don't want to cancel New York. I don't want to drag her, but I hope that she learns from all this and learns and understands the pain that was caused. If New York, hypothetically, I'm not saying this will happen. I'm just saying in a fantasy world, if New York were to come to you and apologize, and not, I don't mean some like bullshit apology, like what she did on Instagram, but like an actual apology, would that make you feel better? Would that be nice?
Of course that would be nice. Of course.
Yeah. And you haven't talked to her since then?
No.
And you haven't talked to Chance since then?
Oh, no. I see Chance.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay. Outside of the show? Like you guys have hangout time?
We run in the same circles.
Okay. So it's like in passing that you see him.
We'd be in the same places. You know, we're invited to the same places. We work with the same people.
Okay. And so he's respectful to you or friendly when you
see him? No, he's not.
Oh,
that's why I'm like with Chance, because it's like, okay, the cameras are done. Like the cameras aren't here. You don't need to be mean to me anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and then he's like still, I remember we went to some listening party. And he's weird because sometimes he'll be nice to me and then he'll just switch. And then he'll just start bullying me. It's very, like, weird. Yeah, and it's uncalled for. Like, just don't talk to me. Like, you know? Like, he comes up to me and he's nice and and then it's like, it's weird. He switches and...
Man,
weird.
You don't deserve that. I'm so sorry. You're such a sweet girl. You're so smart. You're so beautiful. You absolutely do not deserve any of that. I wish you had had a better experience on your show. I think you handled it with grace. I hope you have more reality TV experiences where you're a little bit more empowered.
Me too.
I want to see you more.
I hope the next show is, you know, not against me. I feel like the plot was to definitely be against me.
I definitely think so too. I've kind of felt like that was the whole reason that you were there. And
yeah, I'm like, what if the producers have to hate me? I did something wrong to them.
No, honestly, girl, I got to say, I think it's because you are so sweet and gentle energy. I think they're like, oh, she'll be an easy target. That's the only thing I can think, because otherwise it just doesn't make sense. So let me ask you one last thing, totally unrelated to all of this. How'd you guys, the whole COVID thing was going on during the filming of this, which is interesting. How'd you guys stay safe in spite of COVID, which I know in Southern California is like really, really bad right now? Were there like precautions or protocols?
Right now I heard it's really bad. In August, I don't think it was as bad. But we got tested and we, you know, kept up with the precautions that we had to. So we stayed safe and no one got COVID during that time.
Good. Good, good, good. I'm glad to hear that. Well, girl, I think you're amazing. I have so much respect for you. I think you are a strong, powerful woman. I really appreciate you coming on my podcast and bearing your soul. I know this was not the easiest of topics, and I really, really appreciate your honesty. It really means a lot to me.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Thank you for defending me.
Of course, I always will. And how do we find, what do you got? Do you have anything that you got going on right now that you want to talk about? And how do we find you online, on social media?
So my Instagram is The Last Period Skywalker. Definitely. Well, this is my merch. I'm picking up new merch tomorrow as well.
New merch? So this is your merch that you have on right now?
Yes.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That's awesome. What does it say? Will you pull your hair back a little bit so I can read?
Made you a believer.
That's brilliant. I love it, girl. I love it. That's so cool. I'll be sure to pick up some of your merch for sure.
Thank you. Yes. Always turn a negative into a positive and just don't let anything get to me. But for sure, check out my Instagram, all my social media, my YouTube, my Twitter, everything. Is connected, my merch and everything like that is there. So my Instagram is The Last Period Skywalker.
Awesome. I will put that in the description below, all of the links to all of your stuff in the description, in the box below this YouTube video for everybody to check out. So girl, thank you again. I got mad respect for you. You're awesome. You're beautiful. You're powerful. And keep on kicking ass in life.
Thank you. So do you.
Thanks, girl. Bye.
Alrighty. Bye.
I'm so grateful that Believable came on to the podcast. She and told her story. She's so brave and she's just such an amazing person. And I really am grateful to her for sharing her experience on the show. So clearly a lot of different issues have come up because of things that happened on the show. And I thought that a really good person to bring on to help us really dissect the show would be somebody within the trans community specifically. So please give a warm welcome to my next guest, Eden the Doll. She is a model. She is a social media influencer. She is a gorgeous trans woman and a trans rights activist. And she's here with me today to discuss some of the transphobia on the show, some of the other problematic areas. Please welcome Eden. Hey girl, how are you?
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm a huge fan of you and the show, so I'm excited.
Thank you so much. I got to say, I'm a big fan of yours as well. You and I kind of connected a few months ago before we even talked about doing this podcast together. And I'm definitely a fan of yours. I love how outspoken you are. And I think you're just amazing.
You know, I watched your podcast so much that I'm like, you know what? I'll find my own way to get on it. So here I am.
You totally did. You totally did. And you told me that you're a fan of like the Of Love shows, Flavor of Love and all that.
Yeah. I definitely grew up watching you and, you know, everybody else. And it's definitely been really, really cool and fun watching. Oh my God.
Oh,
it's
no,
been really,
okay.
really cool, fun. It's been really cool and fun seeing like all my questions be answered from when I was a kid. You know, like I had so many questions, and then every time I see one of your episodes, they all get answered. So it's really, really cool.
Oh, nice. I appreciate you saying that. That means a lot to me. I'm so glad that you're enjoying the podcast. So let's talk about a little bit before we get into the show of One More Chance. Tell people who may not be familiar with you, tell people a bit about you. From what I know a bit about you, and you have a really strong social media presence. You do really great on there on YouTube. I think you have like 300,000 subscribers. You have 500,000 followers on TikTok, 500,000 followers on Instagram. Like, girl, you're kicking ass on there. Tell people a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your journey.
Yeah. So I basically started transitioning at 18. And I basically, I was modeling at the time, and I was actually doing really well modeling. I was in Vogue when I was 16, so I was doing really, really good.
Wow.
And when I got to around 18, that's when I started, you know, basically realizing what I was eventually going to do, and I was like, finally able to do it. So little by little, I started to change. And then I started to record the process. And when I was around 20, my ex-boyfriend at the time convinced me to make a YouTube channel and basically talk about the process and basically come out to everyone. And we made a video together. It went viral. And then ever since then, it's just kind of like, you know, it's been a roller coaster, but I'm really, really happy and blessed. You know, not a lot of people get to do what I do. So I'm definitely super blessed.
Well, I really appreciate you do that. The fact that you did that, that you documented the whole process. And I have to say, that's so incredibly brave of you to do this and to do this so openly and publicly, because, you know, there is so much hatred still towards people in the trans community. There's a lot of fear there. There's a lot of misinformation, people who don't understand it. And, you know, I feel like there's still very much this mentality in this country and in other countries too, of like, I don't get it. Therefore, I'm afraid of it. Therefore, I hate it. Therefore, I must destroy it. You know, and it's really sad.
Oh,
and
people seek to destroy what they don't understand. That's a line from X-Men.
There you go.
It definitely applies to this, you know, and well, that's why I do what I do. You know, that's why I'm so public about it. And a lot of the times, a lot of friends or my family, they wouldn't get why I was so public about it. But my reasoning is because I want to change the world. I want to be part of the change, you know, and people, the problem will not get fixed unless someone out there is doing it and convincing other people about it. So I'm really grateful it's me.
I love it. It's beautiful. And I'm sure there are so many people who maybe are considering transitioning, or maybe they just did transition and they don't feel like they have the support in their life. And I think it's really important to have people like you out there that they can relate to and they can look up to and they can be influenced in a positive way by you. And I'm sure that you are helping so many people, and probably way more people than you're even aware. And I think that's so amazing.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It's truly a blessing. But that leads us to this and why I'm here. And basically, the show that we're going to discuss is One More Chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I grew up watching all of you guys, right? So it was definitely like, I was a really impressionable kid. And, you know, I think I was around 10 when Flavor of Love came out. And I was around like 12 when Rock of Love came out. So like, it was definitely, you know, I looked up to you guys, and you guys were like, especially in New York, because later she just kept making more shows and kept collaborating with more, I guess, LGBT people. And it was really surprising to me hearing what she said, because it hurt my feelings, let alone it hurt a lot of other people's feelings. And not only because of what she said, but it came from her. So it was really disappointing, you know?
Absolutely. I would imagine it probably felt like a betrayal. Would you say that it felt like a betrayal?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, because this is someone that, you know, after the shows, LGBT community basically gave her a job, and we kept her relevant for all these years. So she kind of owes everything to us. So it really like is a slap in the face.
Definitely. Yeah, I totally get it. I totally get it. So I want to get into some of the details of like what was said specifically on One More Chance that was so upsetting to people in the LGBT community and outside of the community like myself. I want to dive into that, and also I want to talk about the character Mangina, which that was problematic in of itself as well. But first, I want to throw out some facts, because I know there are some people out there who might be a little bit ignorant, or maybe just don't have that kind of compassion or that understanding. And I want people to understand that a lot of these actions that took place, the behaviors on One More Chance, if this had taken place in, not on a TV show, but inside of a corporation, some laws would be broken. And so I don't know how that translates to like reality shows, but let me just, so my source, just so you guys know, of information is the ACLU, which stands for the American Civil Liberties Union. They are my go-to organization of when I'm wanting to learn about facts, rights, having to do with civil rights and how we should be legally treated in the workplace, which technically I would imagine that a reality show is the workplace, but that would be for a lawyer to decide, not for me. So let me drop some facts on you guys for a minute. This is from the California ACLU. ACLU is national, but this is having to do with California law specifically. So there was a Q&A on the ACLU website. One question, let's start with, okay, so the reason I'm asking this is because people think that New York interrogated Tiffany, there's two Tiffanys, Tiffany, New York. New York's named Tiffany and Believable is named Tiffany. So to prevent the confusion, I'm going to call them by their show names, which is New York and Believable. So people go, well, Believable is a cis female. And for anybody who doesn't know, correct me if I'm wrong, Eden, but cis female is a person who identifies with the gender that they were born as. Is that correct? Okay. Mm-hmm. And then cis male.
Biological gender, you're basically cisgender. So if you are born male and you identify as a man, you are cisgender.
Okay. So I am cisgender. I'm cis female. So Believable is cis female as well. And so a lot of people think like, well, it's not transphobic what New York said and did towards Believable because she's not trans and therefore it wasn't transphobic. So here's why I want to drop some facts to correct that misinformation, that way of thinking that is not correct. From the ACLU website, it says, what if I am not LGBTQ, but my employer mistreats me because they think I am? Answer, California law bans discrimination based on actual or perceived sexual orientation, gender identity, and or gender expression, which means you are protected even if your employer is mistaken about your identity. The next question, can my employer harass me for being LGBTQ? Answer, no. Harassment is a form of discrimination that occurs when an employer or a coworker with the employer's knowledge subjects you to a hostile, offensive, or intimidating work environment because of your sexual orientation, gender identity, and or gender expression. The law protects you from harassment by supervisors and coworkers. Now, if you're on a reality show, are your castmates considered your coworkers? That's for a lawyer to answer. Last question that I want to share with you, question and answer. Question, if my employer repeatedly addresses me by the wrong name and pronoun, is that harassment? So this kind of ties into the whole way that Mangina was treated. Answer, you have the right to be addressed by your lived name and pronouns. If your employer consistently and intentionally addresses you the wrong way after you have informed them of your correct name and pronoun, that could be illegal harassment. So folks, there are laws about this stuff. This doesn't have anything to do with like being sensitive or being too sensitive or being a snowflake or whatever. There are laws in place to prevent discrimination, bigotry, harassment, discrimination, all of that. I think I already said that. But yeah, so those are the facts. And go to the ACLU website to fact check me. So Eden, let me ask you this. Let's start with the whole interrogation of the girls by New York. I'm going to read the quote just in case anybody didn't see it. New York sat down with each of the girls and basically I think she was trying to break them and trying to see who's here really for chance and who's not. And New York is an entertaining character. But in this moment, my opinion is that she went too far and she went after a marginalized group, which makes it wrong. So she said to Believable, quote, does it bother you when I tell you that I feel like you're a man, that you have genitalia like penis and balls and a sweaty dick? What does that do to you? Does it fuck with you at all? And then it just continued and continued and continued. But that was one of the quotes that really stuck out to me is like, holy shit. How did you feel as a trans woman watching that clip of New York berating Believable about her gender?
Okay, let me start off by saying I love jokes and I'm definitely not a snowflake. I make more jokes than half the people. Like I am the least, I don't get offended so easily. Like I'm the first one to joke about it. Like I'll call myself a tranny any single day, like before anyone else does, you know, like it to me, like it's different because I'm saying it or someone that is trans could joke like that because it's like, it's them, you know, it's like me and you joking and saying the N word. We can't do that because we're not Black. You know, but Black people can do that because they are Black. So same thing goes along with trans, I believe. And like to me, I'm not sensitive, but for someone like her to basically, we're talking about what she said, right? Not her apology yet, but girl, anybody, trans or not, like even if I wasn't trans, any person watching that, put yourself in that girl's shoes, you would be offended. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to hear that. I'm sure you wouldn't want to hear that. Any woman doesn't want to hear that they look like a man or that they resemble a man or whatever, whatever, right? Because she never said trans, she said man. But yeah, like, I mean, I don't know what I would have done. Like, being in that situation, I mean, I wouldn't put myself in that situation to begin with, but I just wouldn't have allowed it to ever get to that point. But as a viewer, it definitely was triggering. And it just was, I mean, it was really disgusting how she was treating that person, because let's pretend she was trans. And that's really how people speak to us. You know what I mean? And it's good that, I mean, it was televised, because it just shows how other women see us sometimes, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's really upsetting whether or not, let's say in that moment, New York didn't know if Believable was a trans woman or if she was a cis woman or whatever. Regardless, I feel like it's very transphobic. I feel like it's anti-woman. I just feel like it really goes against, New York has propped women up. I've seen her do it. She's propped trans women up. I've seen her do it. I've seen her interview people. I mean, she was a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race. I mean, she's so immersed in that community. So it really perplexes me on how she thought, like, this is acceptable. Like, this is okay.
But the bitch knows better. I was going to say that. And she knew exactly what she was doing. And I feel like when those things come out of your mouth, you know exactly what you're doing, because you're trying to hurt someone. She was blatantly trying to hurt this girl. Whether she was trans or not, it doesn't matter. You don't do that to another human being. You know what I mean? And I think we're so far along with growth, especially with TV and stuff, that we know not to say certain things. You know, like, I'm adult enough to know to not see the N-word on TV. You know what I mean? I'm adult enough to know to not be a fucking asshole, homophobic, or anything on TV, you know? Especially if it's on TV where it's being televised. But if this is how she treats someone on TV, I can only imagine what she does in real life, dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if this is how she calls her a man on TV, I can only imagine what she calls actual trans women.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, it's 2020. It was the year 2020. It's 2021 now. I feel like we should be woke now. Like, yeah, some people said some dumb shit back in the day, back in the of love. I'm not excusing that either. But, like, enough time has passed that we should know what the fuck is up now. Like, we should be more woke than this. And that's why I think it was so shocking to everybody to hear New York go that direction. Like, I get it. New York is doing the villain character. New York's being New York, you know, but there's a way to be the villain character without going into transphobia, without going into homophobia, without going into misogyny. There's a way, like, you don't, that should never be even an option, even if you're being the villain. Do you agree?
If I was a contestant on the show, I think they would know better than to call me a man. But, like, if you could insult me, call me a bitch, call me fat, call me blonde, call me whatever you want to call me, but don't call me a man. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, I compare it a lot to race and stuff, because it is personal. You know what I mean? So for her to, like, it just felt really, really ugly. You know, it just was like, ugh. It was cringy. I think anyone watching it was cringy.
Yeah, I think they were too. And I think for me also, one of the concerns about the way she was going after Believable in that specific way is I feel like it is perpetuating a behavior. As you said, you've had people treat you that way in your life, where they hatefully call you a man or talk about your genitals or whatever in a hateful, inappropriate way. And so for her to do that, I think the biggest problem of it all is that it's perpetuating that kind of bullying behavior, bullying specifically towards trans men and women, but in this case, trans women.
So, you know what? If New York can call her a man on TV, then I can do that too in real life. So if I see a girl, whether she's trans or not, I'm saying this in general, if I see a girl, I could go up to her, call her a man, feel her up, feel what she has down there, assault her, basically. And it makes it okay for me, because she did it, I can do it too. And that perpetuates violence, it perpetuates transphobia, it just makes it more like, you know, like, if you see public figures doing it and not getting consequences for it, then I would get away with it too, you know?
Yeah.
And that's definitely why, like, especially shows like this are the reason why little kids grow up to be assholes, and people think it's okay to mistreat trans women or women in general, you know?
You totally nailed it. You worded that so well. And I will add to that by saying, her apology video on Instagram, which I call the non-apology.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
And what was so crazy about it.
I'm sorry.
No.
Bullshit.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing is, like, she literally is talking about perpetuating the problem. In her video, she says, well, people did it to me. People call me a man. And therefore, I'm going to do it to other people because people did it to me. And that was how she, one of the ways that she justified it. I'm like, girl, you literally, that is the definition of perpetuating potentially violent behavior, potentially violent rhetoric. That is perpetuating bullying, and specifically bullying of women and trans women. So she's talking about perpetuating this problem.
Wait, you know what? Like, after watching the original video, I was going to wait for her response because, you know what? I figured she's probably, maybe producers told her to say certain things. You know, I watched Talk of Love. I know that a thing or two how it works. Like, maybe, like, you know, someone was feeding her lines. Maybe, right? So I'm like, let's wait for the apology. The apology comes out, and that's when I really got heated because she completely dismissed everything. And I remember watching it. I think I watched it just now, but she said something like, oh, people are mad at me. You guys shouldn't be mad. I get called a man all the time. You know, like, I take it as a compliment. I did it. So if you want to be in this business, you have to be able to take the heat, you know, so that I gave her the heat. And it's like, bitch, like, no, that's not how you do it. Just because you were assaulted when you were a little kid or raped or something, like, doesn't mean you're going to go do it to someone else. Like,
right. Like, right. Yeah.
You should have learned about how that made you feel. And any woman, telling you, any woman, when someone calls you a man, that's probably the biggest, it's probably one of the biggest, like, insults you could tell a woman is that she looks like a man, you know, trans or not. And I'm sure that didn't make her feel good. So why is she going to go do, I mean, and I get it. She's a villain. She wants to make the other person feel bad. There's a different way to do it because, I mean, saying you look like a man is one thing, but then actually saying, are you a man? That implies, that's when the trans thing came into play, because she didn't say you look like a man. She said, are you a man? Not are you trans, are you a man? Do you have sweaty dick and balls? Or all, she was saying like all this stuff, right? And like, it made it worse and worse. And then when she apologized for it, she said, oh, well, I have gay friends. It's like me saying, oh, well, I have black friends. I could see the N-word. I'm doing, you know, whatever, whatever. Like, it's like, girl, it just doesn't make sense like that. It doesn't work like that. And if someone's offended, you know, most of the comments were literally saying they were offended. And it was all trans women that were saying they were offended. So if someone's clearly offended, you should apologize. And she never apologized. She just said, you guys took it the wrong way. Sorry you feel that way, but this is what I meant. And it's like, that's just not how it works. You know what I mean?
She said, basically, your feelings are wrong. And that's not a thing.
Yeah, you shouldn't have felt that way because right. I didn't mean it that way.
Yeah, this seems like this really hurts you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's really upsetting because this happens all the fucking time, you know? And a lot of people will be super nice to me until they find out I'm trans, especially women. And I'll hear stuff like this, you know? Like, I'll hear from, like, being, like, it's just, I don't like that this was televised because it just makes it okay for other people to do it, you know? And, like, that goes against everything that I'm working towards is I'm putting myself out there so people don't do this, you know what I mean? So
yeah, I 100%.
I truly, truly doubt New York would sit in front of me and call me a man in my face. You know, like, that is like, she's not that dumb.
I hope not. I really hope not. You know, and the thing is, like, if New York was being called a man, according to her, by people in her past, the thing is, though, New York isn't a man. New York is not. She's not a trans woman. New York was born a female. She identifies as a female.
And no one's a man here, regardless of anything. Nobody's a man. Yes, I'm trans, but that doesn't make me a man. That makes me trans, you
right.
know? And I would literally say, yes, I'm trans, you know? But if she was to interrogate me and tell her, are you a man? I would say, no, I'm transgender. There's a different, like, being a man doesn't make you trans. Like, you know what
right.
I mean? Like, nobody here is a man. And I think that's what she needs to learn, the differences between the word man and trans. And there's a whole separation behind it. And that's clearly why people are upset, because with her apology, she basically said that trans women are men.
I'm so glad you made that point. You articulated that so well. And that's a really, really good point. And the thing is, though, New York being a cis female, it's one thing for somebody to say it to a cis female, but let's talk about what happens to trans women if somebody aggressively comes at them and starts antagonizing them on the street, going, you know, are you a man to a trans woman, what can that then lead to? It may start with words.
Yeah.
Then what is that?
So, I personally know what this is like because it happened to me. And for example, I've actually seen this happen to cis women, you know, like I've seen it be recorded actually online and stuff. And like, if you say, like, let's say we're in the middle of like 12 a.m., middle of the night, and you say that this girl, whatever she might look like, let's say she looks like New York said she looks like a man, then she looks like a man, right? So this girl looks trans and she's not, but you're over there saying that's a man, that's this, that's that, in front of all these people, and they're going to go up to her. They're just going to assume that she's trans. They're going to assume this. They're going to assume that. They're going to beat her up.
Exactly.
Any woman, trans or not, but something similar happened to me and my friends on Hollywood Boulevard. And I've never been assaulted, never had to go through something like this before. So it was really traumatizing. And like I said, stuff like that is triggering to me. That's why I'm here, because it means a lot to me. And me and my roommate and her friends were walking on Hollywood Boulevard after going to a hookah bar at around 2 a.m. Guy comes up to me, tells me I'm beautiful, tries to talk to me. I ignore him. I'm waiting for my Uber. Long story short, it was really late at night and there were a lot of people there, and they ended up saying like, oh, she's a man. They're men. We were like, what? And like, the thing is, in this situation, we are trans. You know what I mean? Like, and like a lot of women get called men every single day, but we actually are trans. So it kind of, and for some people, I do understand that they see me as a man. So like, it would really like, it became more of a, oh my God, we need to get out of here. And
dangerous.
Actually, my roommate's here. Maybe I could bring her on so she can kind of speak about it, because I actually wasn't assaulted. I was the only one that actually wasn't hurt or stolen or anything. But my friend actually, that same man actually ended up hitting her in the back of the head and knocked her out. And after that, it was all recorded. These people basically recorded the entire thing. They thought it was funny. And this is why behavior like this leads to this, you know, because it makes it okay.
Yes.
And we were basically tormented for a good hour, and we couldn't even get into the Ubers because they would follow us. They tried to following us with metal rods, like literally trying to kill us.
Oh my God.
While recording it. And like, when we ended up going home, I saw the whole video online, and I posted it myself. It went literally overnight. It went viral. Everyone was like, it became a huge thing that the fucking FBI got involved.
It was
a really,
news.
Really big thing, right? So that tells me that we are making progress because people clearly cared. But things like this aren't helping with that, you know? But
Have your friend here.
I'll have my roommate come and like give her 2 cents.
Yeah, please have her. Her name is Jaslyn. Is that correct?
Yeah, Jaslyn. You know Jaslyn.
So. Yeah, please bring Jaslyn on. I would love to hear from her. I'm so sorry you ladies went through that. That is just heartbreaking. Hi, girl. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm so sorry to bring you in on such a dark subject, but I think it's really important for the viewers to hear from both of you ladies and what you endured. And we're drawing the parallels between aggressive and hateful rhetoric and words like that were displayed on and exhibited on One Mo Chance, and specifically from New York, and how that can easily lead to violence and does so many times. And specifically, trans women who are also Black, that is the number one category of humans in our country who are murdered. They are murdered more than any other group, any other type. So can you speak on that? And can you tell everybody a little bit about yourself too, please?
Watching what happened to the girl and like seeing how like even I saw it all over TikTok, like it was going viral, and even in the comments, people were like laughing about it. Like it was, they truly thought it was funny, and it kind of triggered me because I felt like it was the same thing that happened to us when we were attacked. There were people that were watching me get assaulted, like hit in the head, laughing about it, thinking it was funny just because I was trans.
There were like 20 to 30 people, men and women, laughing and recording while all the women there were enticing it and calling us men and stuff, not knowing that, you know, what if we weren't trans?
Either way, I mean, it's
so horrific. Sad to see that, like, we were taking steps forward and like being accepted just in, to live our lives, not saying you have to agree with us or like that we're trans, but just to respect us. We were taking such good steps forward. And I feel like things like this are always putting us back because it makes it okay for other people to feel the same way that these people that attacked me did. And it's just so like gross to me. I can't believe that like the producers or the production even thought that that was like funny enough to allow to be said on TV. Like they can't think of anything else more creative to put online to make views for themselves. They had to like come after a whole group of people and like a community and like mock them and make that the funny part. Like, come on, be a little more creative. We're in 2021, like grow up. It's so sad. It's
you disgusting. Worded that so well. And I'm so, so sorry that happened to you. I'm so sorry. I mean, I'm so sorry that happened to both of you. I remember it made the news and I remember thinking, well, first of all, the fact that it happened in Hollywood shows that that can happen anywhere, because Hollywood and California specifically is supposed to be like the liberal part of the country. If that shit can happen in California, it can happen anywhere, you know? And it's just terrible that you guys had to endure that. Did they catch the guy who assaulted you, ladies?
The one that assaulted me, actually, yeah, he's in jail right now. But yeah.
Well, that's good at least.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot more positives than negatives that came out of that situation. You know, that basically, it was a really, really tough week for both of us.
Yeah.
But you know what? We, like I said, something really, really traumatic happened to us, right? And we try to spin it around and we try to make the most positive outcome out of it. And we, it actually inspired both of us to be more public about being trans. Because before that, she wasn't out.
I literally was in the closet for years because I was fearful of something like this happening to me and I would get hurt for just living my own life. You know what I mean? So after the situation and like it was everywhere, I was just like, you know, I have nothing to lose now. Fuck it. I'm going to like make sure I blast my transition and my story and my life everywhere just to make it that much easier for girls that haven't been through it, because it's rough. It's not an easy thing to be us, you know what I mean? It doesn't just like, we don't just wake up and get to live our lives. We have to be in fear all the time. And I think that like, that's one reason now that I'm just gonna say fuck it and make sure that I keep talking about it till the next girl that's transitioning can live her life like happily and easy, you know?
Just, she transitioned at 8 years old. And she was a kid transitioning, but she grew up in the closet because of things like this.
Yeah,
like,
I lived in
with fear.
Yeah, I lived in Harlem, New York. Like, it's not a okay place to be trans or even gay. You know, it was very dangerous. So I feel like me moving to LA, I thought that was going to be my start to be like, oh, I can relax. And then something like that happens to me on Hollywood Boulevard with my friends, and it was super scary. But a lot of good has come out of it. I think we are like making ourselves known, like, you know what I mean? Like, our community, we're putting us up, you know what I mean?
It woke us up, and all the love and positivity that we were given from it really, really gave us a purpose in life. And like, I've been on YouTube for this many years, but I've never been so outspoken, you know? Like, I wanted to be known for my talent, not for being trans or something, you know? But being trans is a part of me, and I want to emphasize it as much as possible now, because I want to help as many people out there as I possibly can. And me hiding it or me not making it a big deal isn't going to do that, you know? So we're at the point in our lives where we just want to really, really be out and open, because we want to help other people. We want to change the way people see trans women. We want to change the way the world treats us, and hopefully the way we want to change that from happening ever again.
Yeah.
You know what's so amazing about this is that New York, in her apology video on Instagram, she literally said, well, this happened to me. People called me a man. And she said, so I decided to make a positive of it. And instead of letting that get me down, I then did that to other people. And I'm showing other women, yeah, I got called a man and it didn't break me. So I should get to call you a man, and it shouldn't break you either. And that was her way of, she actually used the words, making a positive of it. Somebody hurt me, I'm going to go hurt them and tell them that they have to like basically man up or woman up and deal with it. You ladies are saying, it wasn't just that people were verbally abusing you. You actually were physically assaulted, and you're saying, I'm going to make a positive of this. I'm going to make sure that that pain that I felt never happens to anybody else. I'm going to make sure to be a positive influence and to educate people and to bring awareness to this so that this problem will stop. And that's so opposite.
It wasn't just about me and her or our friend. It was about the entire community as a whole. And this happens all the freaking time. Like, it happens all the time too, especially to trans Black women. And the fact that it happened to us, we had it, and we actually had a spotlight. You know, people actually showed it, and it went viral and stuff, but it doesn't always go viral. Mm-hmm. This happens under the rug all the time. People get murdered, people get assaulted, and doesn't get recorded, or no one cares.
We were literally so lucky. Like, we were just lucky
one. The best outcome that it could have happened, you know what I mean? So that's why we want to make sure that it doesn't happen again, and we want to make sure to stop things like this from
yeah, because it doesn't help, because just like Eden was saying, when watching you guys on Rock of Love and Flavor of Love and all those shows, she was impressionable and learning things from it. And this is teaching boys or like girls that are watching the show now, they're seeing this behavior and they're saying, oh, that's okay, I can do that. There's a trans girl in my school. Let me go beat her ass real quick. Because, like, you know, it's just like crazy that people think that in 2021, that is like okay. And
yeah,
they're teaching them. Like, New York is literally teaching them, even in her apology, saying like, that's fine. Like, I was bullied, I'm gonna be a bully too. So you guys go do the same thing. Like, you misinterpreted me. Like, no, we heard you loud and clear. You're saying you're a bully and you wanted to hurt her feelings, and you did, and many other people too.
This you nailed so it. You nailed it. So I read in some of the comments, some people were saying, you know, oh, here we go. Here's another opportunity. People see New York as a strong Black woman, and here's another opportunity for people just trying to take down a strong Black woman. What are your thoughts on that?
It's so dumb. Like, it has nothing to do with her being strong or Black. She did something wrong. She has to apologize for it and correct her mistake. She made the mistake. She doesn't want to own up to it. Like, come on, that's her problem. We want to uplift her. I was a big fan of New York until this. Like, it literally, like, it's just not, it's not okay. And when people make mistakes, whether she's Black or white or whatever, they need to take accountability. And she did not.
Mm-hmm. I think that you're a strong Black woman.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm all for it. So one thing that happened that was really particularly disturbing was during one of the elimination ceremonies, the girls are given a hat if they, and that's symbolic of you get to stay, you're not eliminated. So Mangina was afraid that she was going to be sent home because there had been a lot of recent drama surrounding her and the girls. So when Mangina is called up, she walks up to Chance and she said, look, you know, there has been some drama involving me, and I just want to like get in front of it and let you know the reason why I've been a part of this drama. And I wrote this quote down. Mangina says to Chance, she says, she said, the reason I've been so aggravated and hostile is because a couple of years ago, I was attacked and beaten for being myself. And as she's saying that to Chance, she visibly starts tearing up and getting emotional. And I believe that that wasn't fake. I believe that she was really feeling those feelings, and I believe her story. So Chance hears her and then kind of just gets really stoic and just says, like, I'm sorry that happened to you. And then Chance says, okay, I'm going to let you stay in the house another night, and goes to give her the hat. And when Chance extends his arm with the hat, Mangina kind of gets a little playful and a little cutesy, and she kind of like bends down like so that Chance can put the hat on her head. Well, Chance totally takes that the wrong way and thinks that Mangina is like flirting with him or something like that. So Chance starts getting really pissy and was like, knock it off. And Mangina's like, no, I was just bending down so you could put the hat on my head, which she was. So then immediately after that, it cuts to Chance doing one of the confessionals and talking to the camera. And Chance literally says to the camera, look, in a minute, I'm about to bust his goddamn ass. And he's saying that about Mangina literally 30 seconds after Mangina just confessed that she had been attacked and beaten, quote, for being herself. And I was like,
why keep her there? Like, that doesn't make sense. And it's a love show. So obviously, like, you want to show, like, that doesn't make sense to me.
They literally had Mangina there just to be the butt of the joke. His joke. Okay. For Mangina to be so honest and tell her story about her being attacked before, and then Chance to go back and say that he would hit her, is kind of like disturbing. It It's literally the whole thing was about Mangina was that she was there to be a joke of the show. And that's one, not okay, not right. But then for Chance to be so disgusted all the time, because I watched some of the episodes, for him to be disgusted all the time whenever Mangina was around him, it was just kind of like, I don't know. That whole thing is weird, but I feel like a lot of Black men have this weird stigma around being around gay people. Anybody who runs under the umbrella of LGBT, they have this stigma around them that they have to be the most macho man in the world, because look at the things that happen to Black men all the time with police brutality and stuff like that. They have to feel just like how New York felt, like people called me a man. Well, now I'm going to give it back. And I feel like that's kind of what happens with a lot of the Black community, because we have been put to like almost the bottom of the barrel and we get treated like shit all the time. They have to, we then have to find someone else to put under us to make us ourselves feel so high and mighty. So I feel like that's what happened a lot of the time with Chance and Mangina. It just kind of was like, he wanted to feel bigger than her. And I don't know. It's just,
because trans women are like the bottom.
Yeah, because right now, we're the bottom. We're the ones that get beat up all the time. We're the ones that are getting killed by the same people that are getting killed by police. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's a cycle, and we need to cut the cycle of feeling like we have to have someone at the bottom. If we can all just be equal, maybe that wouldn't be happening so often.
Do you think? I mean?
Yeah. He was so quick to invalidate her story and invalidate the fact that she was assaulted, because he made a joke about assaulting her right afterwards, you know? And this is something that we have to deal with all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and even joking that you would be able to hit her is insane, because then, like I said earlier, people are going to see this and be like, well, I'm not the only one that feels so strongly about hitting a trans woman. Like, yeah, I can go hit her too then, because Chance is saying it on national TV. Like, look at who our president was for the longest, spreading like a whole bunch of hate and racism. And now people are all of a sudden, everyone is racist everywhere. Like, and everyone's open about it because they feel like it's right. And yes. It's just not.
That's the point. You nailed it.
For men to hit us. Because didn't someone in the show call her boyfriend or something?
Yes,
and
I want to say
that, like, oh, come beat his ass, come do this, come do that.
Yes, actually, I was going to bring that up, Eden, as well. I was going to bring that up next. There was a female character who's a cis woman. Her name is Yodala. And she was in the van arguing with Mangina. And as they were arguing, it's escalating and escalating. Yodala gets out of the van and she gets on her cell phone and she calls somebody. We don't know who she's calling, but we're assuming that she's calling some men. Later, she said it was her brother and her brother's friend. While she's on the phone, and she actually says the full word, I'm going to censor myself and say N-word, but she said the full word. On the phone, she's talking to the person about Mangina. She says, this gay-ass bitch N-word want to talk some shit. So I want y'all to pull the fuck up and handle that. Then there's a pause, and then she says again to the person on the phone, I'm going to sound like the whitiest white girl as I'm reading this. I just got done arguing with this whack-ass drag queen Joanna Man look-alike. I need you to handle that. And then it cuts to Yodala doing the confessionals where she's talking just to the camera, and she says to the camera about Mangina, just because you got a wig on don't mean shit. Either I'm going to treat you like a bitch or you're going to get whooped on by a bunch of N-words. So she basically is justifying violence towards Mangina with all of that conversation. Thoughts?
That's a lot. Like, that is scary. And to be honest, I wish we knew more about Mangina to know her story, if she is trans or if she's what she identifies as, because I was outed in high school once and I became a little bit of a joke for everyone was calling me a tranny and like saying things about me being trans. I denied all the allegations because I was just like, you know, like I don't want to feel unsafe. And one thing that a girl told me once, I got into an argument with this girl and she told me when she was like, I have a bunch of boys to come beat you up because I'm not going to hit you because you're a man. And like the way that made me feel alone, like just for a woman to tell me that she's going to have boys come beat me up because I'm a man, like that is one super scary because it does happen a lot. And yes. It's just like completely taking out the piece of me that is fully a woman. Like I'm a woman, and you're telling me that you're gonna have boys come to beat up a woman. Like I don't know. It just doesn't sit right with me, and that's like scary to think that she would feel that strongly about an argument they got into to want to get boys to come beat her up
and possibly kill that person, because that's what happens all the time. This is what everybody needs to understand. The reason that we're all making such a big deal about this show is because these hateful words lead to violence, which leads to murder, and it happens all the time. This is real life. This is not snowflake feelings. This is not, oh, you're too sensitive. There is a direct correlation between this kind of rhetoric and trans people being murdered.
Definitely exaggerating, because when they beat us up, they don't beat us up to just beat us up. They beat us up to kill. Like, they keep going. There is no stop. They're letting out all their frustration from all their lives from when they were kids and they were told they weren't good enough. They're laying all that out onto us. And they don't stop. Like, they want...
Literally, when I got attacked, after I got hit, I could hear the people that were recording this, hear them say, oh, look, she's waking up. Go hit her again. You didn't kill her.
Like,
it's not just a TV show. And the fact that the production thought that this was so cute enough to put on TV and keep this going, the stigma on us going, is so disgusting. Like, find a way to get better views. Like... because this ain't it. Like, this is just not it.
Because even back then, like 15 years ago when all those shows were going on, and, you know, back then people were less sensitive and they got away with more stuff. This still wouldn't fly back then. They would never, I mean, I'm sure your production team from back then still wouldn't do that. You know what I mean?
Like, they wouldn't. I will tell you this. I was one of the biggest villains on Rock of Love. I never, ever went after someone because of their gender or their gender identity, and I never would. But I was still a great villain. That means that, like, that's a cheap shot, but it's not just a cheap shot. It's dangerous for an entire group of people, and it's completely unacceptable. Ladies, I got to wrap this up, but in closing, what do you have to say to, if you could talk to the production company, what would you say to them? What would you say to New York, and what would you say to Chance? Like, what do these people need to hear that they're not getting?
You know, I just, for the production, be a little bit more creative in what you put out, because if this is the type of trash that you're going to continue to put out in the world, please get shut down now. And maybe try to learn something. Maybe watch this podcast to learn a lot about our lives, because you're making it more dangerous for me to be myself, and that's not okay. And for Tiffany, you as well. And who else do I talk to?
Chance.
And to Chance, like, come on, dude. Like, grow a set of balls. You can't be around someone that's a part of the LGBT community without cringing like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, grow up. Just grow up and look around you and see how the world is changing, and probably try to change with it.
And understand the pain and the violence that you're perpetuating, that you're giving a stamp of approval to this kind of really dangerous behavior.
Yeah, because maybe he wouldn't really do it, and maybe it was honestly a joke for everyone in this, like, that's involved in this, but they're making it a lot more difficult for the people that have to then go out and live their lives with this type of behavior actually happening to them.
Eden, what do you say to the production company? What do you say to New York? And what do you say to Chance?
I'm just kidding. But I get it. What she said was completely, completely right. I mean, like I said, all the things that happened in the show, like him calling her believable because she's believably a woman. You know, I've been through stuff like that where someone's like, oh, well, let me feel what you have down there. You know, let me assault you and see what you have to make sure you're a woman or something, you know, because I heard this from someone else. And that's basically what happened in the show. And it was just, all of this relates to us because this happens all the fucking time, you know, and the whole apology with New York, you know, I wish if she truly cared about her supporters and stuff and the people that have been paying her bills for the past 10 years, she really should apologize and apologize and mean it, you know, and to Chance, I'm gonna go suck a dick. Like, I don't know. Like, something with him. Like, honestly, no man, no straight man, would make that big of a of a deal about something if they really weren't bothered. He clearly has some issues from when he was younger. I don't know. There's something deeper down in him with his own hatred that he has to deal with, because no normal guy who really doesn't give a shit or isn't attracted to whatever, men, women, whatever, would make that big of a deal about it. Most guys would just be like, okay, whatever, you know, like, okay, not about it. You know, maybe would have sent her home the first night. Something about him, he wanted to, I don't know.
Yeah, he was pretty obsessed with people's genitals throughout the entire show.
I mean, he's a little obsessed. So there's something he has to, you know, yeah.
Yeah,
the only ones that get that matter because, you know,
they're hiding a little something.
Yeah, maybe you might be right. You might be right. Well, ladies, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you. I know this is a tough subject. I know it was a triggering subject. I appreciate you so, so much. How can people find you guys, you ladies, online?
You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Eden the Doll, and
me, Jasmine White Rose, on everything. So.
Awesome. You girls,
thanks for having us. You really are truly iconic.
I
watch you all the time. It's on YouTube, so we literally all the time when we want to feel a little spice, we go
literally.
So we love it. Definitely.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That means the world to me. I love you, ladies. I wish you all the best. And let's stay in touch, okay?
Yeah. We'll be in Vegas soon, so.
Let's make that party happen. All right, girls. Talk to you soon.
Have a good night.
Bye. Thank you. Wow, that was really intense. That was really heavy. I appreciate you guys for hanging in there and for listening to this. And I think it's really important. Let's definitely continue to raise awareness about this issue. Let's continue to talk about it. Let's continue to engage others in this discussion, because that's the only way that we are going to grow as a society and move away from these problems of violence. There's really no place for it. There's no room for it in our society. And education is power. So there you go. Thank you so much to everybody for listening. And before I let you guys go, I just want to give out some shout outs. As you guys heard me say earlier in the podcast, we just had Christmas. I did the first annual toy drive for Talk of Love, which was called Toys of Love. So many of you donated toys. I appreciate you guys so, so much. You all made some little child from a family who is in need really happy. And I gave a bunch of shout outs on the last episode of Talk of Love. And even after that, I still got more toy donations in. So I want to give a shout out to all of you who donated. And these are the people who I did not mention on the last Talk of Love episode. I want to shout out to, first and foremost, Zena and also Joey. You guys are my contributors too. Thank you so, so much for donating toys. I want to shout out Nancy and her pug, Charlotte. Thank you so much for the toy donation. Jennifer and her cat, Princess Rose, and her dog, Benjamin Bear. Oh, that's so sweet. Love you, animal lovers. That's so awesome. I want to give a shout out to Anthony, and happy birthday to your partner, Alan. You guys are awesome. I know you guys have done Skype chats with you. You're both so amazing. I want to give a shout out to Erica, who also donated. And I want to shout out to Erica's husband, Kellen, and your little rock star who's going to be here in May. Congratulations, you guys. That's so exciting. I want to give a shout out to Frankie R, to Natalie, to Ara Jane, Evilness. I want to shout out to Tara, Nick, Sharon E, Sweeto, Jonathan, and Michael. Thank you all so, so much for donating toys to the toy drive. If I forgot anybody, if I didn't shout you out this time or at the last, I'm so sorry. And please just send me an email and tell me I'm an asshole and I'll give you a shout out. You can contact me on my website, talkoflove.net, and click on contact. That's how you can email me. So if you donated a toy and I didn't shout you out on either this podcast or the previous one, I'm so sorry, but please let me know. Thank you guys so much. You guys are amazing. I appreciate your support. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the Talk of Love YouTube channel. And please follow me on social media. If you just click on the box below on the description, you can find the information for everybody's social media, mine included. Thank you guys so much. Be safe. Take care of yourselves. Stay positive, be nice to each other, and don't threaten me with a good time. Bye, guys.